Your home is your biggest investment. So don't waste money experimenting when it comes to building, maintaining, or repairing it. From the chimney and the flooring to your siding and even the white picket fence, we've got you covered. This is Home Science Show, where we dispel the myths and misconceptions about your home, reading the fine print so you don't have to. Here's your hosts, Chris Linder and Dmitry Lipinski.
Welcome back, everyone, to Home Science Show. I'm your host, Dmitry Lipinski.
And I'm Chris Linder.
And today we're talking about how safe is our homes. We're going to discuss burglaries. Cannot say that word. But a couple of weeks ago, my laptop was stolen right out of my vehicle that I parked in front of my house. It was a Saturday night. According to the police and other incidents in the neighborhood that night, it happened anywhere from 11 p.m. to 2 in the morning. And it felt horrible. It's a $2,500 laptop. It's the first time ever I left it on the back seat. I never locked my car. I live in a really good neighborhood. And then I was talking to the police just this past week. An officer told me that there's been three more cars broken in. And one house in Rogers was actually broken in. They opened the car and there was a garage opener. So they opened the garage door, went inside the house and cleaned it completely. And actually have a couple suspects. And the only thing I found next to my car next day, Sunday morning, it was a bottle of water that I know we didn't buy. It was a really big, I think, Sam's Club brand. And it was one-third empty. I gave bottle to the police, and apparently it belongs to my neighbor who also have somebody in her car night before. So she came to me and said, "Hey, I saw you were giving bottle of water to the police." And in this case, they actually said they're going to try to do DNA. Police usually doesn't do that. But because there are so many incidents in the same neighborhood, and they think it's one of the 20th between Champlain and Rogers. So it's a pretty big deal. So today we're going to talk about how safe our homes are. And as a father of five kids, and cannot stress enough, I always worry about safety of my family.
Yeah, you can't, you know, it's one of the hardest things. You know, we have four kids as well. And as a dad, over the years, you start to become more and more concerned with things that you never really had as much concern about when it was just you, or even maybe just you and your wife. And you start getting that family and you start understanding your vulnerability, and home security becomes a factor all of a sudden. And I know you travel quite a bit as well, and so do I. And one of the most difficult things for me is when there's something small, and thank goodness it's always been nothing serious, but even the smallest of things, and you get that text or that phone call and you're 1,000 miles away that, hey, you know, I heard a noise or something's a little weird or whatever it is, and you're helpless. And helplessness is probably one of the worst feelings I think that we can have. If anybody's ever been burglarized or had their home broken into, the feeling of just being violated and helpless against it and all the thoughts that come through your head. You know, you said your vehicle was broken into and you had a laptop stolen, and even just that too. But like in your home, you know, you look, you can see everywhere they've been, and you can see they've been in this drawer and in that drawer. And then you're thinking, what were they doing in here? Like, meaning like, how did it go down? Like, were they walking? Were they, you know, all this stuff that you're going through, you just feel extremely vulnerable. And that's a tough feeling to get over. And I think that for most people, we don't put it on high enough of a pedestal, meaning it's not as much of a priority to not have that feeling, or you know, even worse, it could be something could have happened, you know, to your family as well. But just even the feeling that somebody's been in there.
Well, there's a 2.5 million home intrusions are committed each year, huge number. But unfortunately, most people don't think about security until it happens to them, and then you feel sad. I mean, the emotions are, like you said, it's really weird emotion when somebody like you don't feel safe anymore. And safety is one of the crucials in our lives. Like it's a crucial element. We have to be safe. Like, and again, I don't care about myself. I remember when I was 18 years old, we actually caught in, we heard, like somebody breaking in our car. And like through the, we heard the noise outside somebody, because we're in sleep. It was 2004, and I went, like, looked at the window, and somebody literally was getting in, getting the thing out of the car, the audio system, whatever it was back in the day, from our Toyota Camry. And I remember running outside and actually catching a guy. And as I was running right behind him, I pressed him all the way down, and I spotted a knife in his hand. And so I pressed his face down, and he landed with his hands above his head all the way down, and I forced his arm around. I took his knife out, and just because I was so pissed about the knife factor, I actually punched him in the face like two or three times, get his arm around him, and pretty much brought him back to the house, and we called the police. I mean, he was a drug addict. But because of the knife, I realized later that what could happen. But the thing is, majority of the burglaries, what the danger for me, it's not what they're gonna take, but the danger of that encounter, because I believe 30% of encounters actually in the residential home burglaries are ended up being in a physical confrontation. So think about if you come home and something is in progress, or if people think nobody's there, and they open the garage and they start robbing, and then you come out. I mean, that's, if I'm not home and it's my wife and my kids, that's the most scariest thought that I ever have. I mean, that's the danger of burglary for me, not the possession.
Yeah, so great. You tell your story about being heroic and taking a knife away from somebody. I'm about to tell the vulnerable story of me being burglarized, and I don't have a whole lot to add to that.
What's the most what's the biggest thing that was stolen from you, business or personal?
Well, I talking about personal home. So the biggest item was a laptop, but at that time, I was single. I had some roommates. We were broken into, and so we had a ton of stuff stolen collectively. And I did, paintball guns, all the crap that a young guy has that he covets at that time, I guess, stereo stuff, PlayStations or whatever. But nonetheless, that's that feeling, you're upset, you're mad, the feeling, that anger, like, how dare you come into my home and do that? And it's not good.
I remember in Brooklyn Park, I just moved to the United States. It was 2006, and Brooklyn Park, Walmart, I went inside, locked the car, have 96 Honda Civic, come out, sit down, and wanted to turn on music, and was gone. Like, and I'm sitting like, and I remember jumping out of the car, looking at the back seat, because it's the worst feeling ever.
Did
it's
you
like
to sing Russian show tunes the rest of the day?
So you get out of your car, and you like, what just happened? Who was here? Just the feeling that somebody was in your car doesn't want you to, like, you don't want to drive anymore. You will, every time for the next 6 months, you're going to get in the car, you're going to be thinking about, hey, is everything in place?
Yeah, you're always looking over your shoulder, so to speak. But yeah, like, what's missing now? What's missing now, suckers? Yeah, you're listening to the Home Science Show with Dimitri and Chris. You can find us on YouTube at the Home Science Show. Send us an email if you have anything that you'd like to hear us discuss with regards to your home. info@homescienceshow.com. We're talking burglary and home security today, and it's, how it hits us as homeowners and fathers. And it's one of those times, it's vulnerability, it's helplessness, it's anger, it's all that stuff. And I don't like it, nobody likes it, and we got some ideas on what we can do about it.
When we come back, we're going to talk about cons of do-it-yourself home security systems. Should you be hiring a company to do it for you, or what can you do as a homeowner yourself? Can you secure your house on your own dime, or you need to have professionals to install it? All of that when we come back. We'll be right back. You're listening to Home Science Show with Dmitry and Chris. Today we're talking about burglars, what we can do to secure our homes. 2 weeks ago, my laptop was stolen right outside of my vehicle. I do have a little camera in my Ring doorbell. Unfortunately, my car was outside of range of that camera. And I was canvassing my neighborhood to see how many people in my neighborhood has cameras. I was so surprised to realize and find out that all my direct neighbors, left, right, in front of me, none of them has the cameras. There's only one lady all the way down in cul-de-sac on my street that the only one who had a camera. Actually found her on the app, Nextdoor app. I did a post about it with a few other people about those incidents that night. Anyway, I looked up statistics online. Only 17% of Americans have security cameras. How crazy is that? Camera probably one of the most affordable things these days as far as security goes. It's very affordable and it's getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. I use, it's not sponsored by any means, I use products by Ring, but there's so many in business. I think we use Arlo. You can buy them at Best Buy. They cost anywhere from 100 to 200 bucks per camera. You don't need any devices to record like back in the day, like, you know, CDs or all of that stuff. It's gone. New technology, everything is stored on the cloud. It's pretty affordable. 150 bucks per year will get you last 15 days of recorded almost at any given time. But Chris, why do you think only 17% of people actually have a cameras when it's so affordable?
You know, that number actually surprises me. And I think you say only, to be truthful, that number surprises me that 17% even do. It just seems like it's pretty rare I come into a home that has an actual camera security system. You know, probably some level of security in a good, you know, decent percentage. But even when that, it's not that they have a camera. So that number, I don't know. I mean, you know, with so much available to us today, and the truth is, I don't know if everybody knows how easy it is now to get a security camera into your home. I mean, every single one of us has a smartphone, and literally within minutes, we could have some level of security installed that communicates to our smartphone.
I would say security camera is one of the first thing I would recommend to anybody out there. I installed that Ring doorbell. It was so easy. It took me, I would say, about 30 minutes to install. And you're talking about hardwiring it because there's a voltage. I mean, it's hardwired doorbell. So you pretty much replace your doorbell unit from inside the house. There's a like voltage upgrade, like a little battery, because you know it has to be connected to the phone. It has to also ring inside. So it's a little bit challenging, but you don't have to be an electrician to do it. I figured out in 30 minutes, and I hate anything electrical. And I almost wanted to hire somebody, but you know, I managed fine. It wasn't hard price, but now
if you can buy it at Best Buy, you shouldn't have to hire somebody.
Exactly. but now every time somebody at my door, my phone rings. So hey, somebody at your door. So even if I'm not there and it's my wife and my kids, I know I can spy on them who's coming in. And by the way, I hope nobody got robbed last night or yesterday, because last night is actually officially the most bulgarized holiday in the United States. I think it has to do with so many people going door to door, so many robbers are taking advantage of it. But among all holidays, Halloween.
Halloween's the easiest time of the year because everybody's out, people are in costumes. It's not uncommon that people are walking around looking a little bit suspicious. And not only that, a lot of people aren't in their homes because they're out trick-or-treating with their kids, or they're off to another family. So people aren't really paying attention to that. You know, amongst other ones, Labor Day. You know, Labor Day is one of those times where people go on vacation. Most people are gone that time of year. New Year's Day, you know, a lot of people aren't around. You know, so there's these times of year. So think about holidays where if you're not going to be around, other people are preying on people at those times. So be thinking about some of those things.
Well, most burglars take place between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. So people thinking it's when you travel, it's weekends, it's night. No, it's 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. And it's a fact. If you look at any stats from companies who actually sell cameras and already have a data to look and analyze burglars, tend to avoid homes with the security systems and security cameras. It's even if it's fake, it still will keep them out because the people don't want to end up on YouTube at the end of the day with their face all over the internet for doing stupid stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, most 80 to 90% of burglaries are not planned. They're not professionals. They're impulsive acts by dangerous people in need of money for one reason or another. And so, you know, it's not as if you've got, you know, the professional cat burglars running around so much as it is the everyday, you know, criminal or becoming a criminal even, wasn't even planned. So, you know, it can happen a lot easier than we think too.
Well, majority of break-ins are committed by burglars who live nearby. So what's happening is people in a neighborhood or like in the area, they already have been watching homes. They know which homes has security, which homes don't have security. And because it's only 17%, so think about you trying to rob somebody's house. What would you do? Right. So you have 100 homes around you. 15 of them has cameras. 85 don't have. Which one do you think you're going to do? Of course, you know, and also it's becoming so popular, the footage from the cameras, you know, cameras like, you know, from your doorbells. I mean, it happens so often now. So everybody see on the social media those faces and those, you know, burglars. They're like, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be caught. Because majority of those people, they're not professionals. Like you said, 95% are not professionals. So,
yeah, I mean,
disturbing facts.
It is, and it's a good percentage of people that situations rather that are going to require some sort of force. So I think there's statistics out there to the tune of 95% or better of burglaries required force. Well, so let's just break that down for a second. If 95% of them required force and they got in, why are we not, you know, taking action to secure our doors and our windows and things, you know, better, more properly, because they're actually able to get in?
Well, 35% of all burglars enter through the front door. So if you don't have a camera and if you don't have camera on the doorbell, like by the front door, I mean, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Like, what's wrong with you? Because you don't have to have even security camera, but it's just that people, like, just make sure you're recording something. 35% front door. And as a home science show host, my question is, what's wrong with our front doors? What's wrong with our construction that so many people, I'm talking about millions per year, can enter in our homes with the freaking pry bars?
Yeah, it's usually a common tool, you know, a screwdriver, a hammer, a pry bar, something. The old carpenter's friend is pretty much the standard tool. Again, you're listening to the Home Science Show with Dimitri and Chris, and you can find us on YouTube at the Home Science Show, or you can visit our website info, or our website at homescienceshow.com. Send us an email, info@homescienceshow.com. I think that a lot of us want to believe that we live in an area, a neighborhood that's good and safe enough where we don't have to worry about it. And I'll be honest, even though in a long time ago, and though, you know, remembering having been broken into and things stolen, maybe it's just been long enough to where you forget, but I'll leave the front door open. You know, I'd like to leave the keys in my car. That's the way I was raised. I was raised in a smaller town where that's...
Why would you do that?
You know, what I'm saying is I won't now, but that's how I want to be and one I want to believe.
I don't like my car either.
You know, and
for the same reason.
Well, I grew up where if I didn't leave the keys in the vehicle, I would get in trouble because then, you know, when somebody's coming to, we always had construction vehicles around. So it was like, hey, where's the keys for that? Mm-hmm. You know, I need to move that. Why would you take the keys out of it? That's how I was raised. That's a hard habit to break when you know, for how many years where you can't do that. But we live in a different time. And the truth is, if you think that you live in a good enough neighborhood where you don't have to worry about it, just think that that's probably the kind of neighborhood that a burglar wants to be in because you've actually got some stuff that's worthwhile. You talk about 2 million burglaries a year annually. Well, they're not happening in the real rough neighborhoods. they're happening in the little better neighborhoods that have more valuable things to take. So think about where you're at, and is your stuff of value to somebody?
Well, my thing on it too, as far as locking your car goes, I always say, well, if I leave the car key there and somebody takes it, well, they're going to find him, whatever. But the thing is, only 13 to 15% of burglaries are getting results in arrests. So a lot of those cases, even if somebody takes your vehicle or if somebody takes stuff from your car, only 15%. Think about it. Like, we think about police as, you know, they have all this technology. Police is understaffed, and they have so much on their hands. They're not going to do DNA testing or even fingerprints. We have in our business in 2015, since 2015 to today, in the last 3 years, we have three cars broken in, stolen all the tools, all the power tools, like lock was completely broke. We have a trailer stolen in front of our building. I mean, we have over $30,000 stolen, and we never ever be able to recover anything to this day. So, and nobody ever did even fingerprints. 15% of burglars result in arrests. Like, police are, you know, there's only so much they can do. They have to focus on bigger crimes, unfortunately.
Yeah, when we come back, we're going to find out what you can do in 15 minutes to give yourself some peace of mind. Welcome back to the Home Science Show with Dimitri and Chris, and we're talking burglary, home invasion, and how we can prevent it, and what options are out there for us. And before we left, I talked about something you can do in just 15 minutes to give yourself some peace of mind when it comes to home invasion. And one of the most simple things that we can do right now with all of the smart technology, Wi-Fi, wireless that's out there and available to us, is there's a few products on the market, and Dimitri had mentioned one of them is called Ring, but you can get some of the more simplistic, inexpensive products to simply put a doorbell camera on your home. It really takes about 15 minutes to install that. I wouldn't say that it's the best thing out there and on the market, but
Installing the door, or what are you talking about?
It's a doorbell that has a camera built into it. Okay. That, you know, so when somebody comes to your front porch, it's not going to be the highest grade camera, kind of like some of the ones you've got here, but it's still going to give you the same options. It's still going to notify you when they ring it. It's going to send a message to your smartphone and let you know who's there. So that's the start of it. Now, there's all these things you talked about with DIY style home security systems. Now, for years, we've all known that there's the home security companies that are out there, the ADTs of the world and Brinks and all those. But in the last few years, with technology, it's come so far that we can now do a lot of this ourselves in either 15 minutes or even if it's a few hours, but we're very capable of doing these things ourselves. But there is a lot of things you need to know about that when you're doing it. It's not just as simple as, hey, I got it, I'm done.
Do you know of any option that you can do yourself that actually connects to the police? Like any type of security system that, hey, you can go install it? Because I know ADT and Brinks, like whatever those names are, like big players in the market, one of the big advantages is they're going to connect to the police. Somebody breaks in your window or breaks your door, if security is on, police is going to be underway or you're going to get a call. Do you know of any systems out there that you can do yourself that connects to the police?
I do not know that there are any. The standard process for a DIY is that it notifies you and you make the decision on the next step.
That's probably one of the biggest benefit of hiring professional service, because they have the dispatchers that 24/7. Because, you know, once something happened during the day or night, if your security system is on, and usually there is a cost, there's a monthly bill, and we hate monthly bills. They add to our, you know, overhead expenses of our households. So people trying to save money, so extra $20, $30 can be a lot of money to somebody, but I know I don't use my security system. I don't even know why it's already installed, all the Windows, everything. It's just like you said earlier, that's the way we grew up. And like, we don't like to lock our cars, and you have to have a habit to do it. But then one of, again, benefits are that police will come if it goes off.
Well, I think one of the downsides with the professionally installed has always been in the past. And I think there's a statistic out there. I don't know it, but the percentage of homes that actually have home security systems installed that are never, ever activated, or they're not connected with sure. actual monitoring system is high, because I think that it kind of comes with the, we got to turn it on, we got to arm it, we got to do all that stuff. And one of the advantages and the appealing pieces to the DIY stuff is that it's typically kind of an always on type situation. So, you know, you don't really have to do anything, and it just goes into place. It's a motion notification that's going to send you the message, rather than you have to worry about, did I arm it, disarm it, who's going in the house, did they have the code, did the kids set it off, did the dog set it off? I mean, some of those things are a complete pain in the butt. I don't know if, you know, for those of you who arm your security system at night and you have motion sensors, you got to, you know, you got to let set it up for the dog so that it only goes certain height, so it's not going to get yep. set off. But if you get up in the middle of the night to brush your teeth, you know, or whatever, you know, get a drink of water, right? It's going to go off or whatever, all that sort of thing. So,
well, my favorite app today is still going to be Morton Camera. So there's three brands that I've tried. One of them is Ring, another one is Arlo, and third one is Dropcam. And all three of them will activate by, you know, what you're just saying. Like, so they're all going to record on motions. So you can... you can, if not prevent, you can at least investigate after the fact what happened. So, for example, if you, let's say you install five cameras, one in the backyard, one in the front, one in the garage, maybe some inside the house, right? So if, let's say you're missing a letter, you're missing something, or like somebody stole something from your property, you can go in and you can check your cameras for the last 15, 20, 30 days, whatever the plan you have. So that's the easiest. And because we have so much technology, you probably already have a smartphone. You probably already have everything that it takes to actually do it. All you have to do, go to the store, buy a camera, connect it to your phone, and now at any given time, you can look at the footage, what actually took place. And a lot of times, if you're out of town, you can actually monitor your property when you're not there. I mean, if you have a Ring bell, somebody's at your door, you can be, you know, an ocean, but you can literally talk to people, or like, or if they're in your house. I mean, you see those YouTube videos there, it's already taking place all over the country when people are prepared and they can literally interfere with the burglars.
It's, you know, it's nice too, because even just something as simple as the FedEx guy shows up, mm-hmm. and you can, you know, you're going to get the notification and say, yeah, hey, just because you got a speaker on,
exactly.
on these. That'll talk right to him. You say, yeah, just leave it right there. No big deal. And you know, you can say, honey, by the way, FedEx did drop a package. You know, everybody knows if they didn't get the notification. So there's that piece of it.
Or, but think about if somebody drop it off in your door and then it's gone. Now you can track it as well. Again, those motions for me are huge in security, because if you're out and you set up an emotion, I mean, somebody is inside the house and you know nobody should be there, and you get a notification on your phone that, I mean, for me, that's better than old school ADT or anything like that, because now you're not going to get a call from somebody, hey, the sensor went off. You're going to have notification in your phone that somebody at your front door, somebody in the living room, somebody, and you can choose the sensitivity.
I got it.
Thank
I got
you. You can choose, like, to turn it on off when your family is there, because you don't want to monitor your family or your kids, or maybe you do. I know with my suckers, I do.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, buddy, I know you were the one who got into that, right? You know, and now you're my big brother style on them. But yeah, don't get me wrong, because there's cons to this too. With those DIY systems, they start out pretty cheap, but it's all the add-ons by the time you're done that it's going to be more expensive than you probably thought. So for like example, if you're going to have all the window sensors that go with it, you know, those things are $20 a pop. Well, how many windows do you have in your house? Are you even doing the second level? Are you just doing the main level?
But it's one-time cost.
It is. But, I mean, just don't go into it thinking that I'm going to buy a $200 setup and that's going to be it, because you're going to probably, the more secure you want to be, just like anything, the more money you're going to spend. You know, the other thing is, when you go with a home security company, they're going to have things in place like battery backups and such, so that, you know, they're just more prepared because they're taking responsibility, which is another piece of it. It's nice to have somebody taking responsibility. The thing I like about the DIY and in those types of systems, like you mentioned, is that statistically 90% of the time when a home security system is activated or is goes off, it's not because the home's being burglarized or for something that you really even needed to. It's either a kid or a pet or you or something, and you know, whatever, and forgot about it. So I like the idea of being able to see it first, because really, if you think about it, if it notifies you, that would be as if it's notifying the, you know, the security company. And you can get charged for those calls too, but depending upon the security company. So those charges can add up too. You know, I have four kids running around. I mean, you know darn well those little suckers are tripping, you know, setting that thing off, and, you know, here and there, it adds up.
Absolutely. Well, one more note about security cameras also. Security cameras are not the ideal if you don't understand Wi-Fi security, because they're really easy to hack. They often lack elementary security features, especially, like, I know I don't have cameras inside my house because I don't want somebody to hack into it. There's a lot of criticism right now happening around them because they fail to support encryption, a lot of them. So, like, if you have a camera, let's say, in your kid's bedroom, and somebody outside your property can hack into that, now you just you're more vulnerable with it. So you have to be careful with those two. There's no perfect solution for anything, and if somebody really wants to do the damage, then they'll figure out how outsmart you. So you have to keep thinking about how to outsmart everybody else.
Again, you're listening to Home Science Show with Dimitri and Chris. We're talking home security, and you can find us on YouTube at the Home Science Show or our website, homescienceshow.com. Send us an email, info@homescienceshow.com, if you've got a story about your home being burglarized or home security that you know, tips that we would want to know and be able to share as well. Contact us.
So we keep talking about cameras, and I cannot stress it enough. Cameras are important, especially in the outside of your house. Secure your perimeter. Inside is your choice. If you are going to install camera, make sure your Wi-Fi password is protected, because if not, somebody can hack in and actually use it against you. So that's very important.
Yeah, actually, incorrect installation is the number one cause of failure in these DIY systems. So be thinking about that if you're going to put your own system in, because the manufacturer really is, they're almost even hard to even reach, get on the phone. Mm-hmm. They want to take zero responsibility and try to make that very clear up front, you know, when it comes down to it. And any kind of repairs that you're going to have to do to this system, they're on you as well. And to identify what repairs are even needed if the system's not working, you know, it's not always just going to be that easy to know why it's not working. You're going to have to be the one to identify. You don't get to call the ADT guy and have him come out and figure out what's wrong with your system. So, you know, be thinking about all these things when we're looking at them, because they are a great option. Just understand what you're getting and explore. There's a lot of great companies out there. When we get back, we've got some good tips that you're going to be able to use.
You're listening to Home Science Show with Mitch and Chris. Keep giving you useful tips to secure your home. My first tip will be, if you decided to install Wi-Fi camera by yourself, make sure you do plenty of research how to secure that network, because most cameras can be hacked within a couple minutes if you have very easy Wi-Fi password. And make sure you do research on how to set up a camera, because you don't want to be vulnerable to outsiders with that camera inside your house especially.
Well, one of the best way to prevent break-ins is to try to stop them before they even happen. And that is to create an environment that is not ideal for a burglar to want to get into. And there's some things we can do as homeowners that will set that up to where it's not an inviting situation for a burglar. So if we know, education is always the key. When we know things, you know, what, when do most break-ins occur, and trying to have higher security at those times is one of the big things that will help us to prevent a break-in.
So my next tip will be your front door. 35% of all break-ins are happening at the front door. Make sure the deadlock is nicely done and nicely installed. There's no like loose door jams. I mean, if you think about your construction of your home, I mean, it's 2x4, 2x6, like down south, 2x4 here, it's 2x6 walls around it. I remember watching professional installing security system. So, you know, professional locksmith coming in, installing $250, $350 locks that out of, you know, comes from Israel. You cannot even get a duplicate for the deadlock. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Invest in that lock system. Maybe reinforce the walls and the door jamb around your door. Maybe invest a couple $100 to get a safety door. I mean, 35% of burglars come through the front door. Think about it and protect that door.
Yeah, knowing how homes are targeted is important. You know, it's really a simple selection process. Burglars are going to try to choose unoccupied homes that have easy access with the greatest amount of cover and the best escape routes. You know, so as a homeowner, we oftentimes don't think about that, and we make it a little bit easier for them than we should. So think about, you know, the appearance and those things when it comes to how you have your home set up. Can you prevent some of those things?
My next tip is on the garage doors. If you don't lock your car, think twice what you're doing. So think about your car being open and your garage opener probably in a car, because most of us do. So a lot of burglars, they actually don't break into homes. They don't break into cars. They simply use them. They try the door if it's open, and majority of thefts actually happening just by walk-ins, by something that's already unlocked or not secured. So if you have a habit to not lock your car, make sure you do it next time, because 2 weeks ago in Rogers, there was a big, big robbery, and the only way they got in the house, they opened the car and opened the garage door and pretty much cleaned the house.
Yeah, and if you're going to take a look at your home, try to just do an assessment of everything, like Dimitri had talked about, your doors, the way they lock and all that, but know there are certain doors, like sliding doors, those are typically a latch only, so there's, you know, you can put a security, the old 2x4 or stick, you know, behind the slider so that it doesn't just slide automatically, put that down at night, put some added security. A lot of us have sliders in our home. Windows, the same things, you know, they like to come in through unlocked windows, and windows don't typically have great latches on them, so there are some security stops that you can put on windows as well, so it'll only ever open up so high.
My next tip is garage doors. I have 3-car garage. 2 cars supposed to come through a 16-foot open garage door, and another one, I have this 8-foot garage door. And just a couple of weeks ago, I realized that garage door doesn't have locks, mechanical locks, down below. And actually what happened is probably one of my kids turned off garage door, so you literally could come in and open that garage door because it wasn't locked, and we never used the door, so we never pay attention. So what I did, I actually took a 2x4 and I locked it at the top. So I screwed it to the wall to make sure nobody will ever open it. And again, it's not something you think about it every day, but if you have couple garage doors, I know we built couple garages where front has 16-foot door, but the back would have like garden, we call them garden doors, so they're a little bit smaller, about 8-foot, and oftentimes they don't have mechanical locks, so they're not as secure as others. So make sure you secure them, or if you don't use them, mechanically secure them with a piece of wood.
Yeah, even being just a good neighbor goes a long ways, and that's towards, you know, creating that environment that these burglars don't want to be a part of. So get to know your neighbors, agree to watch each other's home, you know, on a daily basis, kind of keep an eye out. You know, if somebody's going on vacation or you're going on vacation, ask somebody to pick up your mail. That's a huge indicator to a potential burglar that if the mail's piling up, probably nobody's around. Newspapers are stacked up on the front porch, nobody's around. Packages, flyers, you know, people stick flyers on your door. That makes you a target when they see a bunch of flyers stuck to your front door. In fact, a lot of people don't even use their front door, and they go in and out through their garage and don't realize that these people that are soliciting in a neighborhood are sticking all these flyers to a front door. That may just be an indicator to somebody that nobody's around, even when you are around. You know, so think about those and the lights on the front porch. Make sure that, you know, you use some timers. So if you're not going to be around, have timers on your lights, making sure that they're coming on and off at regular times. And I like to advise, if it's possible, tell a neighbor to park his or her car in your driveway. You know, if you know you're going to be gone for a week, you're on the old family vacation, have the neighbor park their extra car or, you know, just park when they come home. And I just park in your driveway, make it appear that somebody's around.
I would like to recommend one app. A lot of you already know it. It's called Nextdoor. Nextdoor is an amazing app. As far as I know, it's free to use. I know I use it when my laptop was stolen a couple of weeks ago from my car. I went on Nextdoor and I actually seen posts from other people already posting that their car was broken in, and I post my stuff. And one of my neighbors replied to me, say, "Hey, Dmitry, I do have a camera if you want to look at it," or whatever. So I was able to talk to my neighbors because, you know, everybody works. I canvassed neighborhood and I only were able to talk to people, But when I went to Nextdoor app, I was talking to like 10, 15 because everybody has a phone. And I apparently more people were on the apps there at home when I was canvassing neighborhood. So pretty crazy for me experience. But again, if you handy with your phone, download the app, know your neighbors, it goes by the street, it literally will ask you zip code, you'll see what's going on, you'll see there's a lot of suspicious activity posts, which is really important if you're a family guy, if you have a, you know, kids. People usually post stuff like, "Hey, watch out for this car," or "We've seen this," and you report those activities to your neighbors and you read when they report something to you.
That's the Nextdoor app.
Nextdoor app.
Another good thing that a lot of people are doing is these neighborhood Facebook groups. Yep. And you know, like, we are constantly on ours and getting notifications. Hey, so-and-so this, so-and-so that. That's a great way to keep an eye on the neighborhood. You know, that's kind of the new form of the neighborhood watch program that's out there.
Well, Nextdoor is, it's handy in, you know, like, people sell stuff. There is babysitters, dog sitters, all of that. But I noticed that safety concern is probably most popular reason why people sign up for Nextdoor. And probably most posts that I see, way over 50% of what comes in my feed are safety. And it's all your suspicious activity or recent news, like somebody done something bad either to the kid or, you know, in a neighborhood, somebody got robbed, or like, it's just, it gets attention. People share it. People share plates and stuff like that. So amazing stuff.
Yeah. Use some of the tools that we have out there and available to us to our advantage when it comes to things that have been an everyday problem. You know, use the social medias and all this technology to make a, you know, better, not just for social, but just make a better living environment and more peace of mind in your neighborhood as well is a great thing. Guys, I think that, you know, the biggest thing for us is that we believe that if you can find a way to take advantage of some of the technology that's out there and look at all the way through how it can help and benefit your family, use it. You know, take advantage of these things. It's so easy for us now to do that.
My last tip would be probably the craziest of all. I actually given the tip to myself, is lock your car, lock your doors. Like, so often it happens to us because we did not care enough to prevent it in the first place. Don't leave valuables outside. I know I have two expensive letters outside of my house right now as we speak, waiting to be picked up. So lock your cars, lock your doors, don't leave valuables in them. I mean, very basic stuff, but believe it or not, this is one of the most common reasons why bad things happen these days, because they happen. Burglars are not professionals. They literally walk in by, they see something, they see opportunity, and decide to take advantage of it. Stay safe, secure your home. Thanks for listening.
Listen to the Home Science Show with Dmitry and Chris. Find us on YouTube at The Home Science Show and our website at homescienceshow.com.